WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. We got word from Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem about a half an hour ago. Three people have been shot at an ICE detention facility in Dallas. Police there just confirming one victim is dead at the scene. The agency's acting director, Todd Lyons, on CNN.
You know, it could be employees, it could be civilians that were visiting facility, it could be detainees. At this point, we're still working through that. We do know that three have definitely been shot. They're en route to the hospital right now.
Again, one dead. Lyons says the shooter died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. CBS News Texas reporter J.D. Miles is at the scene.
This is an office where a lot of activity based on these mass deportations that have taken place over the last 8 months there's a lot of coming and going.
Secretary Noem says the motive for the shootings remains unclear. Again, at least one person dead. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. The field for governor continues to get bigger. Now Tom Tiffany has announced he's running. Civic Media's Savannah Tome Olson has the details.
Tiffany announced his campaign in a video released yesterday.
I'm Tom Tiffany, and I'm running for governor because I love our state. I see where we are headed, and I know we can do better. You know we can do better. I will freeze property taxes, protect our farmland from communist China, and I'll preserve our Wisconsin values, just like my mom does with her pickles. Girl sports will stay for girls, moms will be moms, not inseminated persons, and common sense will win.
Tiffany is a former state lawmaker. He came into office in 2011 and was a prominent Republican voice during the Budget Repair Bill, or Act 10. After 9 years in the state house, he went federal. He's represented Wisconsin's 7th congressional district since 2020. That's much of western and northern Wisconsin. Now he says he's ready to lead the whole state, and took aim at leadership in neighboring states and in Madison.
We cannot let Minnesota's madness and Illinois' insanity to take over here in Wisconsin. Madison politics may smell like the barn, but I know how to clean up the bowl.
In the Republican primary, Tiffany faces Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and businessman Bill Berrien. Democrats running include Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, State Senator Kelda Royce, State Representative Francesca Hong, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and Milwaukee businessman Ryan Sternad. Primaries are next August, and the general election will be the following November. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And for WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Shali Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. More news anytime at WFHR.com and WIRI.FM.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day.
Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Just a banker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
Time for the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habhacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We're going to have some fun this morning and kick things off the way we like to with our great friend, Brittany Merlot, talk a little Mother Nature. How you doing, Britt?
Pretty good. It's hump day. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. Doing good. Happy hump day to everybody out
there. Isn't there supposed to be some sun sometime?
I heard that it shows up around now. Usually. I heard that.
I might be hogging it all.
You know, that's cool. We get it. No worries. We understand.
Okay, I'll send it your way. Okay, I'll share. Fine.
It's nice of you. It's nice
very, very kind, yes.
What does it look like for today, Brittany?
Well, I'm going to share the sunshine with you. It will be partly sunny this afternoon and very comfortable and calm. Winds will barely be moving, highs at about 70 degrees, and we're starting just the best forecast for fall out there. I'm just so excited for it.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be the best temperatures to really pop those fall colors mixed with the sunshine, dry conditions. It's really going to be setting the landscape beautiful. So highs in the mid-70s by tomorrow. We're going to climb to the upper 70s for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then on Monday, maybe even Tuesday, we're going to hit 80 degrees.
Whoa.
Ooh, wow.
Late.
Mic drop.
Yep. Boy, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, you early, can just end it right there.
Early autumn warm temperatures. Ooh, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Very, very exciting and comfortable. I'm excited as well.
Yeah, because that's the thing. When we get this time of year and hit those temps, it seems more comfortable, seems more doable
right.
with everything. It's not really a typical 80. It's not
yeah.
it's not a June 80.
Right.
You know, it's not that.
No.
So it is a lot more comfortable. Oh, that's cool.
It is.
Very good to hear. Today is the and sundown will be the end of Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of this new year and everything. And not only do I say Shana Tova to everybody out there, but I was curious what the weather's going to be like. As what we do is go down to the river, my mother and I, and we grab some, you know, bread or something that we can take pieces off. And with every piece, we go over memories of the year, the good, the bad, all of it. And we start anew. We are thankful for everything. That is really what you're doing, is giving thanks to the year that just had and all of those things. And it's hard to do in the rain. So it's nice that it's not
much nicer and like when it's sunny. Yeah.
We've done it before in the rain. It's a little faster. It's a little faster, I'll admit.
At least
but
you're honest.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, and I want to think. And I want to think.
Well, I don't know what time you're going, but no rain is in the forecast. And I will say it's just going to be partly cloudy. Overnight lows, 48 degrees, maybe some fog sneaking in there, so a little eerie, but no rain. You're good.
All right. Perfect. Excellent.
We appreciate you. Thanks so much, Brittany. You have a great morning.
You too. Thank you.
Best in the business right there for you, everybody. Brittany Merlot joining us every morning. We appreciate her. Appreciate all of you hanging out. We got good stuff on the way for you, everybody. We're talking flying cars.
Flying cars?
Yes.
Where's my flying car?
The first flying car crash ever is what we're talking about.
Oh,
that's actually what we're getting into. That'll be a little bit later.
It'll give you an idea of where we're at.
Yeah. Pretty much. We've also got an interesting one here, and this is kind of funny with what we were talking about in our pregame, Seth. Finally, a good use for AI. It'll answer your calls and block spam.
Hey, there. That sounds good.
Now we intrigued you.
Talking to other AIs, my guess, because that's usually what they are now. So, interesting.
What happens when AI talks to AI and it's just this everlasting loop?
Could be.
We got some entertainment news for you lined up. We're going to get into having some fun with that. And we also have 10 franchises that Hollywood hasn't touched in over 20 years. Talking IP.
Well, yeah, and does that mean, is anything safe? Maybe they'll all be coming up soon. We don't know.
With some of these, we're going to cast them with current people if they were to be made.
See, now that'd be fun. I'll go along with that.
We're going to have fun with that. All those things coming up for you. And of course, we've got this really cool thing going on. Our Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win multi-state contest. Big shout out to our local sponsors. Of course, Rapids Transmission. Mm-hmm. We say a big thank you to them and all of our great friends over there at Rapids Transmission.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is giving you an hourly chance every day, 7 o'clock, 9, 11 o'clock hours, and then in the afternoon, 1, 3, 5, and 7.
Mm-hmm.
We ask you to text us a keyword through the Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, you got a chance to win maybe some gold bling or maybe $200 cash.
Yep.
And if you win one of those, you get yourself in the running for the Green Bay versus Minnesota tickets.
Yes.
That game
fantastic.
Is it coming up in November. Very excited about that game.
Always. I'm
not jealous at all of our listeners that they get to go.
You cannot enter, James. You cannot enter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Chuck told me Jamie Maloof was not a good. It didn't work.
And no, he was more upset because you're like, well, you're not even trying now.
Wasn't very creative. But our words are. We've done a great job with these words.
That's right.
So pull out that Civic Media app and get ready to text us Yard.
Y-A-R-D, Texas Yard, everybody.
Yard.
Yard. Yard. I didn't realize how piratey that word
that is. That is a very piratey word.
It's a very pirate word. Just Texas Yard, everybody, you landlubbers. Or you walk the plank. Text it to us, and I will stop talking like a pirate. If you text it to us, we get a text right now of the word yard, and I'll stop talking like a pirate.
Please, please, someone. Please, someone, do it now.
We appreciate you. Thanks so much for doing playing along, everybody. We've had a great turnout so far. Keep on going with this. We are rooting for all of our local Central Wisconsin listeners out there.
That's right.
We make no bones about it. No integrity with that.
Yep,
we want
that's
you
right.
to win. We want you to win.
Exactly.
This is about bragging rights for us around here, too. So text us that through the Civic Media app, Yard, and we'll be getting that word out there again throughout the hour. Thank you so much to everybody who's already played along.
Exactly.
There we go. Another one right there. Okay.
So okay. I can more text.
I will stop then, Macy.
Yes. Hey, stop that.
Well, and, you know, I wonder, can we combine things? Because today is National Punctuation Day, Seth.
Oh, hey, well, that's a good thing.
And I want to dive into this a little bit with you. Punctuations with a pirate accent. You know, parentheses.
Oh, no.
I broke my brain.
I don't even know if pirates use punctuation.
No, I don't think they. I think that's anti-pirate. Actually, a pirate wouldn't use it.
Yeah, that's
right. We don't use commas around here.
No, not at all.
That's for you land lovers. In a recent poll, most Americans say that they very often use periods, 72%, and capital letters, 64%, in their writing. Less than 10% of people say that they rarely use periods or capitals. So this is kind of interesting to think of. Now, I don't know how many people out there, especially, like, I don't know the younger people that are listening and everything out there, how many have read Jack Kerouac?
Okay.
But one of my favorite authors, when I was a kid and everything, and first wanted to be a writer and all that. And Jack Kerouac never stopped for punctuation.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
Never did. And as much as I enjoy and think some of his work is, like, legendary, like some of the better writing you will read, some of the things, I'm not saying maybe whole books for people, but there are paragraphs, there are quotes, there are lines that you've never heard an author write before.
Right.
It's incredible work that he used to have. Mm-hmm. Very difficult to read, especially when you have dyslexia.
Right. I'm sure it made it even worse.
Very, very difficult. Reading him made me really want to be better at it. Mm. I've never been good at punctuation. I need an editor more than most people in this world. I need an editor just when I'm talking, let alone when I'm writing and everything.
Exactly.
And I've tried to get better at it, but I admit this is something my brain has never really been able to really construct well or understand well is punctuation.
I don't think you're alone on that one. I think that's one of the hardest things to teach in writing, for English anyway, is finding getting the correct usage of punctuation. English, first of all, very difficult language all the way around.
Yeah, I think we can all own that.
We can all agree on that one. Yeah. So it's like anyone who's, you know, it as a second language kind of thing, or even, I mean, and speaking a language is one thing. Writing it is completely different. No, these are two different things we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's a common issue with people is just punctuation. How and when do I use it correctly?
So how often we use these things? Here's the rest of the breakdown. Commas, 55% of people very often use them. 10% rarely do. Contractions, 49% very often use them. 16% rarely do.
Really? They don't use contractions?
That's weird.
That's a little weird.
Question marks, 39% very often use them. 21% rarely do. Quotation marks, similar, 27% to 32%. Explanation points, the one that I thought would be the highest.
Right.
You know, especially with emails and everything. I don't know that I feel like I worry sometimes when you read thank you and it doesn't have the explanation point.
Right.
It's way better. It says thanks. Is it more like that or are they saying thank you? You know, I don't know.
Every time I hear that, I just hear the interjection song from Schoolhouse Rock.
Yes.
That is where I always think about the exclamation point. Yeah.
Parentheses, 19% very often use them, 39% rarely do. Hyphens, 16% to 48%, so a lot of big number there.
Wow.
Dashes, 15% to 50%. Colons, 13% to 54%.
Oh, no, and I'm going to stop you right there. There are so few people that know how to use a colon correctly.
These were the ones I was most interested in.
Yeah, right.
And semicolons.
Yes.
11% very often use them. 57% say
that
they rarely
do. So people use colons more than semicolons?
Yeah,
really? Wow.
I don't know.
All right.
And who's keeping track of this? When you're answering this survey, are you like, well, actually, the other day I used more commas than I normally do.
Nobody's
keeping track.
Right.
Not surprisingly, self-described, quote, good writers are more likely to use the rare form of punctuation.
Right.
But how many people are good writers? 71% of Americans claim to be good writers.
Wow.
That is incredibly high and not surprising.
Wow.
Not surprising at all.
I wonder, is there any direct correlation between the number of people who think they're good drivers?
Oh, yeah.
I bet you it's about the same.
I think that, you know, in that, what are they, those charts where they have the circles and the crossover of
yes,
things?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right in there. That's right in there.
A flow chart.
Thank you. So, and including 24% who say that they are very good. 18% said that they're not very good, and 5% say that they are not good at all.
They're terrible. I'm a terrible writer.
And the number one type of writing Americans do is text messages.
Yes.
Email is second, followed by work documents, journal entries, nonfiction essays, poetry or songs, and fiction, including short stories and novels.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's really a length. If you were to write this down, it's the, you know, how long it takes to write. How long does it take to write a text message? Well, a couple of seconds, right? Novels can take years to write. So it's really about, you know, how long do each of these things take?
I think one of the things that has not been talked about much in the last, I would say, going the 40, 50 years now, the rise and the way we have almost taken over the writing game in the world. One of our major exports is writing. In our writers, in American writers.
Right.
We, when this country was first starting out, if you were an American writer, you were laughed at by European writers, by the, you know, quote unquote greats. Mm-hmm. And you were not considered to be, well, how good can they be? They come from America.
Right.
Like, this wasn't that long ago in the scheme of things and everything.
The long scheme of things.
To see where American writers have gone with popularity as well as respect, man. USA, USA. I'm take that win. I'll take that. This isn't like an opinion or anything like that. Look at book sales. Look at the notoriety. Look at some of the attention that is given.
Right.
Name me a lot of the foreign writers that you read nowadays.
Right.
They're not as many. The game hasn't been as attractive to as many minds as it used to be. A lot of people are going into other industries, whereas many Americans still look at writing as a respect industry.
Right.
Now, if you're a parent of a writer, you're scared and worried and want them to have a day job just to keep the lights out, of course, until they become the next Stephen King or something.
But right.
I'm thinking of my oldest. I'm thinking of Bria. But at the same time, you also feel more confident than I ever have in creatives. Like nowadays, yes, have something to keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. But man, chase that dream because it has never been more accessible. Whatever you want to do creatively.
Well, it's interesting if you look at, say, you're a fan of someone who writes a newsletter on Substack or something like that. You can get by. I mean, depending on how much you get subscribers. You know, basically, it's the old newspaper model, you know, or magazine, whatever you want to do. You see subscriptions, right? That's how you do it. And if you get, say you get like 5,000 subscribers that pay $5 a month, hey, that's pretty good. That's only 5,000 people. I mean, I think you could live on that.
Right before the pandemic, we had a teacher leave, and I remember they weren't making fun of him, but they were kind of teasing him and everything. Oh, you'll be back and all this, because he was open. It was the story of opening an Etsy shop.
Yeah,
he's making more than we are.
Oh, I'm sure
he's making more than we are. Like he's doing great. Like,
you got something that's in demand.
You know,
there you go.
And it's something creative that he loves to do. He really gets into it. He makes masks and stuff. And he really gets
into
it.
There you go, exactly.
You know, it's never been more accessible in that regard. It's also never been more necessary to have that day job because of the way the economy... The economy is one thing. The thing that we don't talk nearly enough is what we're paying people. The economy would not be where it is if we are paying people what they should be paid.
Right.
That's the whole part of
right,
this.
Yes.
Now, anytime you want to bring up the economy, fine. Just be sure to bring up minimum wage as well.
It really depends
on things.
What part of the economy you're talking about, because it's very complicated and large.
Well,
so
and
be a little more specific.
The only reason you hear politicians complain about it is because that's what they're told to say. They don't right. care. You're telling me half of these, especially like Tiffany or Van Orton or any of these people, what have they suffered? You're telling me that they're struggling like their constituents? They
just think the stock market is some kind of bellwether for the economy. It's not. So
You don't even have to listen to them. Just listen to what the guy in the top seat says.
Right.
And that's what they'll say.
Yeah.
Pretty much. When it comes to locals, when it comes to actual people and stuff on those things, that's where I'm much more interested in what people are thinking and feeling.
Then you can see.
And seeing creatives flourish in that regard,
exactly.
too. And being able to in this day and age. We got the El Cafe birthday and anniversary club right around the corner. We're going to do some celebrating when we get back right here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
If you're looking for the perfect spot to cure your sweet tooth, visit El Cafe. They've got an incredible pie selection daily with options like apple, pumpkin, and blueberry. They've even got cheesecakes like cherry, triple berry, and fudge. El Cafe pies are the perfect way to end a great meal or just a good excuse to stop in for a slice. See what all the fuss is about at 221 Market Avenue in Port Edwards. Now available for pre-order or with meals. Stop by El Cafe and grab yours today by calling 715-887-2233.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go, but I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there, providing hot meals, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding.
To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Patchy fog this morning, otherwise mostly sunny today. A high in the low 70s. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 40s. Sunshine tomorrow, a high in the mid 70s. Dry, 70s, and sunshine Friday and the weekend. Right now it's 53.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe today at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Hope they're having a good one over there. Got some great specials lined up for you. Be sure to check them out. Head on over there, everyone.
That's right.
And, of course, get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you. You can email us info@WFHR.com, direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up.
715-424-2600. Call up and give us birthdays or wish someone a birthday live on the air. You can also use the text line. Yes, we use it for more than just the contest going on right now, everyone. Mm-hmm. We will see it. And if you want to use that text line on the Civic Media app, you can do that too.
Look forward to talking with each and every one of you. Hit us up, everybody. Seth, I need a one or a two.
Two today.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. First up, we want to wish happy birthday to Gerald Sanderson.
Happy birthday, Gerald.
Enjoy the day, sir. Hope it's a great one for you. Have a great day, Gerald.
Mm-hmm.
And we wish a very happy anniversary to Bob and Donna Panko.
Oh, Bob and Donna. Congratulations.
Bob and Donna, you are our qualifiers. Woo. Congratulations to you. Wishing you a great one. Enjoy. I hope it's a great day for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And keep getting us those local birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We love celebrating with you. Taking a look at our celebrity list, who do you share your birthdays with? Ben Platt is 32. Evan in Dear Evan Hansen was also in the Pitch Perfect movies.
Okay, very good singer, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stephanie McMahon is 49. Former wrestler and has the daughter of Vince McMahon. Is one of the people in charge of things over at WWE now. I've always just found her really interesting, and growing up in that industry, and you know, I think her and her brother turning out the way that they did, given the industry that they grew up in, all these different factors and everything, pretty cool. Kind of cool to see.
That's very nice.
You know, the WWE is not owned. It's a publicly owned company now. It's not going to be. It's not a family run business anymore.
Right.
But to see those two still involved with it, especially her to a degree, I think that's cool. And boy, when it comes to like being willing to do anything for the bit. And throw yourself out there, and the things that she took, and some of the negativity that she experienced in her life, and everything. I admire a lot of that stuff. It's not easy. Not everybody can do it. Nia Varabalos is 63. You know her from My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, yes.
good stand-up comic, too, I believe, as well. But she's good. She did a great job.
Very cool. Movies. Yeah, she's good.
One of the better nicknames in sports. Mean Joe Green is 79. Mm. Pittsburgh Steeler legend.
Oh, man.
Steel Curtain.
I'm telling you, they're still... It's got to be one of the most iconic commercials of all time. The Coca-Cola ad with Mean Joe. Hey, kid. Throws him the jersey. I mean, come on. It's so good. It's awesome.
You know, we talked about these quite a bit a while ago with the less filling commercials, the Euchre commercials.
Yeah, right.
There's so many great sports commercials over the years. There's been some current good ones and everything. That's the GOAT.
I'm telling you.
As far as sports commercials go, that's the highest there's ever been is the Mean Joe Green one.
It set the
stage for all of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know that people like... They weren't using athletes like this beforehand. They weren't letting them talk, that's for sure. But they were using them mainly in magazine ads and newspaper ads.
Right.
Oh, we can't let the big dumb jock talk.
Right.
Mean Joe Green did fine with it. I believe it was one take it took.
Wow. He did a great job with it. Yeah, he did.
And then you see, of course, a lot of football players go to be actors and go into that realm and everything.
Right, and be sports announcers and all that. Yep.
I'm not trying to oversell it. I'm not saying that all is because of that commercial, but it certainly helped. And push things a lot faster to that degree.
Very popular. That helped a lot.
And some people no longer with us, and we need a beat on these because there's just three amazing ones.
Okay.
First, Phil Hartman, born on this date in 1948, passed away way too dang young in 1998. Mm-hmm. Saturday Night Live alum, news radio genius, a lot of movies that he was in over the years and everything.
Some great voices over the years, The Simpsons, yep.
If you ask who is the most talented person in Saturday Night Live history, you have to bring up Phil Hartman. I'm not saying it has to be him. This is an opinion thing. Everybody's got a different answer.
Right. But In the conversation
has to be Phil Hartman. When it comes to impersonations, name me one person who was better to this day at impersonations than Phil Hartman or had more range than Phil Hartman.
Right.
When you saw Phil Hartman show up in a sketch, tell me you didn't get excited. Tell me you weren't smiling. Tell me you didn't know that you were going to laugh. Just incredible career.
I'm thinking of one right now, actually.
Incredible career. Incredible thing. Some of my favorite stuff that he did, where he would just, like, it's one line or something, and he would jump in. He took a silly bit like Caveman Lawyer and made it entertaining and funny. He was just one of the greatest I've ever seen, greatest entertainers I've ever seen. Along with that, we've talked about his work with Paul Rubens and Pee Wee Herman and the creation of that.
Mm-hmm.
And in recent month, I got to learn something about Phil Hartman. There are a few people who have dissected Phil Hartman's career more than I have.
Right.
I look up to this man like few others. And I did not know something, Seth, that you told me the other day that literally blew your mind.
Before he got into acting, or maybe as a sideline when he was trying to get into the business, he was a graphic designer. And he designed several very famous album covers for several different bands. I think probably the one that I think blew James away the most is the Aja cover for Steely Dan.
It's my favorite Steely Dan album.
It's a fantastic minimalist cover, but it is so well designed. And yeah, that's what he did. He could have made a name for himself as a graphic designer, but he wanted to get into, and aren't we lucky that he got into show business?
A quick Googler search, and you can see all of the album covers he did. And one of the things that I think is so cool about it is every one of them is different.
Yes.
He doesn't do the same
thing. There's not a mode or anything like that. He took each individual band and said, what would work for this album? And he did a fantastic job. He was a very good graphic designer.
Which is incredibly fitting because he was one of the most versatile actors we've ever seen.
Right. And special shout out, CB4.
Nice. Nice. Good one. Good reference.
Very good.
Linda McCartney, also born on this day in 1941.
Wow.
You could ask Paul, and he would tell you that there might not be Wings without her.
Right. I agree.
And she was not even going to be in part of Wings. Mm-mm. She didn't want any part of the public eye.
She really didn't. No. She was sort of well-known before that for being, the daughter of the Kodak family, the Eastman family, right? But she was a photographer. And that's how she met Paul in the first place, was that she was a somewhat famous photographer. And then, of course, she marries one of the most famous people on the planet. And what do you do with that? Well, yeah. She did the best she could, for sure.
I know that she took a lot of heat for it. I enjoyed her singing, her playing. I enjoyed her. I thought,
very creative person, yeah.
I thought it was a perfect mix when you have literally one of the greatest musicians any of us have ever heard with an artist like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like it rose not only her up, but it made him more relatable, more real, more like his music, more than something that the Beatles could not do.
Right.
The Beatles, you got four geniuses basically in that room that don't know how to be anything other than geniuses. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, but it can make at least
she
some
brought out something tough, different in him.
Yeah, she did. No, 100%.
Maybe I'm amazed in all these different songs that I know I listen to all the time. It don't happen without her.
Right.
Like, literally, don't happen without her.
And there's no question that she was the love of his life. I mean, there's no question about it.
Yep.
And sadly, we lost her way too young to breast cancer. So.
One of the greatest, if not the greatest cameo in Simpsons history is her and Paul McCartney. It was so good. It was one of the few things they kept. Like, Lisa becomes a vegetarian, and to this day, she still is.
She still is.
And I know for you and I, one of our greatest influences, Jim Henson, born on this day in 1936.
Mm, yeah.
Again, we don't get to say this word very often, but we got to say it about Ray Charles the other day. Genius. The creative genius.
Yeah.
Looking at puppeteering, looking at puppets the way he did. And yes, The Muppet Show and Sesame Street and all these things are incredibly noteworthy. Yep. None of our childhoods are the same without them. Support public broadcasting, everybody. Mm-hmm. Please support public broadcasting. But it's also the other stuff that he did and the game-changing things that he did. Go back and just watch the making of Emmett Otter's Christmas special. Mm-hmm. And the things that they did to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so movies that are coming out in that same film, in that same set, they're doing the things that Henson was doing.
Right.
They're taking the camera on different angles. Like, he did things that, like, ripple effect in the entertainment industry, and especially when it comes to camera work and cinematography and the changes he made there. The puppeteering and giving respect to a whole industry that was kind of just pushed to the side.
It was considered kids. It was kids' fair. That's all that puppets were. It was just, you can, oh, put your hand in a thing, you know, do a little kiddie show kind of thing like that. No, he gave it respectability. He gave it, it's in his devotion to this one art. It's not like he didn't have talent in other fields. He did.
Yeah.
But he was devoted to making this puppet an actual mature type of, and I don't mean mature like adult. I'm just saying, you know, like, it's not for kids. It's for everybody kind of thing. And he did it better than anybody. And he changed the game. He completely changed the game for puppeteering.
It is at a level now that it never went back from.
Mm-hmm, that's
it,
right.
Never went down from. And I don't believe that I am the creative person I am without him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that happens. I also encourage you to check out What the Muppet, a wonderful podcast that Bria and I do. It was great. It was great. It was a lot of fun. But just bringing that up in jest, but also in a sense of, like, that's how much this guy meant to people like me and
there's
Bria.
There's a whole community of Muppet folks out there doing stuff like that. Yeah.
Had no idea. And a wonderful community at that. Great people.
Very
great
cool.
Individual. We remember you, Mr. Henson.
Mm-hmm.
We will take a quick time out, but we want you to get us more birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Get them to us. And so we can celebrate with you and our great friends at El Cafe. We'll be back with more show coming up on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR's Morning Show.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Sholly Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. Republican lawmakers are introducing bills they say would increase the housing supply in Wisconsin. Savannah Tome Olson has the details.
In polling, people often rank affordable housing as one of their top concerns. Tom Larson, president and CEO of the Wisconsin Realtors Association.
The average age of the first-time homebuyer is now 38 years old. And this is due to the fact that housing prices continue to rise faster than wages. The average price of a home now in Wisconsin is approximately $340,000. That far exceeds a price that most working families can afford. Wisconsin's affordability crisis is worse than most other states. Over the last 15 years, Wisconsin has built fewer housing units per capita than the national average. And if you take a look at our affordability, Wisconsin's affordability is worse than any of our surrounding neighbors.
One of the bills would create a program Republican lawmakers say would make it easier for people to buy their first home. Representative Dan Knodel of Germantown.
0% interest second mortgage loans, up to $60,000. Or 25% of a home's purchase price. To help first-time buyers, can use these for down payments closing costs.
These bills would also include creating statewide guidance for accessory dwelling units. That's where people add homes, sometimes tiny homes, in their backyards. Some municipalities allow this already, but this bill would codify some rules statewide. Republicans say many of these measures were included in Governor Tony Evers' original budget, so they expect bipartisan support. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And for WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Sholly Pittman. More news anytime at WFHR.com and WIRI.FM.
The Packers make roster moves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. Wide receiver Mecole Hardman won 3 Super Bowls when he's with the Kansas City Chiefs. But at age 27, he told me the NFL means not for long.
Whoever they draft and whoever they bring in, you know, that's their decisions. But as far as on my end or any other receiver, all we can do is come in and work hard and make plays. And, you know, whatever happens, happens.
The Packers cut Hardman from the practice squad last night and replaced him with Jacoby Keeney-James, an undrafted rookie receiver out of UMass with 4.37 speed, who didn't make the cut in the Detroit Lions training camp. Baseball. The Brewers playing the Padres today in San Diego, trying to avoid the sweep. Last night, they lost 7-0 after new starter Bruce Zimmerman gave up a grand slam in the first inning.
Our fans probably don't watch it the same way I do, but he gave up an 87-mile-an-hour ground ball that had seeing eyes and got through the infield, and then he gave up a home run that's a home run in only one park in baseball.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Making movies seems like a pretty good gig. Believe it or not, there are people who whine and moan about it, according to wrestler-turned-actor David Bautista. He told GQ he is getting older and more choosy about projects and says, quote, "I want to work with people I just love and respect because I love this business. I love filmmaking and the art, and if people don't want to be there, I don't want to be there with them." This was obviously before reviews for his new film, Afterburn, came out. If you're looking for something to rent that you might have forgotten about or never got around to seeing, check out a film that's climbing the HBO charts. 2011's The Sitter is more or less a remake of the Elizabeth Shue 80s comedy Adventures in Babysitting, albeit a more foul-mouthed and raunchy one. Jonah Hill and Sam Rockwell star in the film that critics say might be worth a revisit. If you're wondering why it was forgotten about, it could be because it received a 22% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it does have Sam Rockwell. It's worth checking out, as sometimes history is kind to comedies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires: How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos's wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin space flight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average super yacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles, and that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joy rides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We want to thank our listeners for following the rapid support over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the Rapids Report at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Patchy fog this morning, otherwise mostly sunny today. A high in the low 70s. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 40s. Sunshine tomorrow, a high in the mid 70s. Dry 70s and sunshine Friday and the weekend. Right now, it's 53.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hope you're having a great Wednesday out there. Happy hump day, everybody. Watch out for flying cars.
If something you will not really hear most other places.
No.
But here you will.
For a good reason, because there's no real reason to worry about flying cars.
No.
But fender benders in morning rush hours are very common, unfortunately. This is a little different one. Two flying cars collided in midair on Tuesday while rehearsing for an air show in China. Both pilots are okay. One of them sustained some minor injuries, but they were all right.
That's good.
If you know this show, we probably would not be covering this if something terrible had happened.
No, we would not be.
Officials say that they were performing stunts in formation and got a little too close. They're quadcopter flying cars, not airplane kind.
Oh,
one of them was able to land safely. The other flying car burst into flames when it landed.
Yikes.
Several news outlets are calling it the first flying car crash ever. Or at least the first where two of them crashed into each other. So I wanted to just show this to Seth just to get an idea of the the vehicles themselves.
We're
talking about here. So picture a helicopter, basically, with airplane wings.
Right, yeah.
Do you think I'm describing that right?
Because it's close there, so I'm not getting a good look at it. Oh, there we go.
It is big enough for one person to fit in. Maybe two, it looks like, actually. Two people can fit in.
It's got a drone-ish look to it as well. It's kind of a cross there as well. So, yeah. But would you call it a car? I don't know.
It has a body that is semi like a car. Little bit like if you're stretching here.
Still looks a little more like a helicopter to me in the body.
I don't see where the car part comes in. Doesn't even have wheels. It doesn't, you know?
Exactly.
Can we agree that if it has to have wheels in order to be a car? I feel like that's at the very least definition.
I don't know, man. I guess you could stretch it and call it that, but
It makes a headline. Does. The legs of this thing that it stands on look like bad ladders.
Step ladders, right?
I like the idea of creating the legs and making them something that you step on.
Literally step into. You know, yeah,
that's smart. Yeah.
Right.
But the look of them does not give me confidence. That thing does not give me confidence.
No, I don't. I think we're still a ways away from the flying cars. Yes, we are.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like that's happening anytime soon.
No, I don't see those being mass produced.
And I wonder too if there's a drive or no pun intended, if there is a want for this. Like for flying cars.
Do people want flying cars?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know in my lifetime I've ever heard anybody say they wanted one. Mm-hmm. We make jokes about them all the time. Mm-hmm. But I don't know I've ever heard somebody say, man, where are these flying cars?
Yeah.
When are we going to get some flying cars around here?
Well, I mean, especially in recent, couple of years or last, this first half of this year, and we, hear all the issues we got with planes. And it's like, do we want to do cars? I don't know. That doesn't sound great.
Interesting you bring that up, Seth.
Oh.
A 2025 AP NORC poll found that 64% of U.S. adults believe flying is very safe or somewhat safe, a drop from 71% just the year before.
That's a huge drop.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was curious about this. You and I had a similar thought there about this. Well, because I'm thinking about the nobody asking about flying cars, and I'm thinking, do people even still want to fly? And what the confidence
general,
in it.
Right, yeah.
And obviously, there are still plenty of people that whether they do or they don't want to, for their job they have to, or for other reasons.
Right.
But what the confidence is in that and how many people are doing it, say, for vacation or because they don't have to. I wonder how much, if the airline industry keeps this up, the majority of people that are going to be using their services are doing it because they have to, not for leisure.
Right.
And that is a gigantic dip in economic impact and what they bring
right,
in.
Right, exactly. And we have all these other options that we can choose from. I mean, we've got, of course, cars, the general car. But we've got, especially now, where it seems like we're heading towards a push of more kinds of long distance public transit kind of thing, more train stuff. I mean, I hear a lot of people now, wanting to do that sort of thing. And if let's work on that first before we work on the flying car, right? That makes more sense. It's and I think it's safer. I think it's more cost effective. It just makes more sense to me.
Yeah, and
it can be cleaner too, depending on how you build it.
And I don't think there's a problem with
there is on every toy you've ever seen an age thing there,
right?
That tells you, hey, this toy is not going to work for my nephew, or this one will, or something like that. Age wise, gives you a barometer there.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the more unpopular things I will ever say on these airwaves. I'm wondering if we need that for things in life, like tech, like certain stuff. And I'm not saying necessarily an age requirement, but just certain things like, you know what? We just haven't earned this yet. We're not ready for this yet.
Maybe.
We're going to put this on the side, and we're not going to bring it out until we're ready as a society for it. Because I feel like we got to get driving down before we're taking driving to the sky. I mean, tell me the last. Give me the numbers of drunk driving. Give me the numbers of impaired driving.
How many people die in car crashes every year? Right, even still around 40,000, something like that. Yeah.
Even without those things, even when people do all the right things, car accidents happen.
Still happen. Yeah,
we ain't figured this out yet. I don't think we've earned going to the skies.
No,
I really, and I don't think, and I'm not saying that like I'm pointing a finger and you know how dare you or anything. No. I'm saying this as that's just human beings.
That's where we are right now.
That's okay. Yeah. It's all right. Guess what? We're not ready to take over Mars. We're not.
Oh, no.
We're not. Not only scientifically. Not only scientifically, but...
like societally, yeah.
Societally.
Yes.
Like, there's no... we haven't even been able to work out things with our neighbors here.
Yeah.
Like, we can't even get along with Canada and Mexico or Europe or any of these other things. And they're saying the same thing about us. We can't get along with this country or this country. Like, we're going to take over another planet? What are you talking about? None of this is a judgment. It's just understanding age limits.
It's being realistic about where we are. Yeah, 100%.
This kid is very smart. This kid is really intelligent and knows not to put things in its mouth. Mm-hmm. But it's not old enough yet for that board game. It's not old enough for that video game. That's what I'm talking about here. And I know it's not popular. I'm not expecting to win people over with this. But I do think that you're agreeing with me. I think a lot of you out there nodding your head.
I think you're right. You are correct, sir.
We got to earn these things.
You are correct, sir. Speaking of Phil Hartman.
Nicely done. Well done. We're taking a break on that. We were actually going to go another minute, but we're taking a break on that. We're coming back with more morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free civic media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Slightly cooler today with mixed skies. Highs only scrape about 70. Got patchy fog possible again overnight tonight. And after it lifts tomorrow morning, it'll reveal abundant sunshine. And highs warmer in the mid-70s. And we hold that for Friday, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Got a lot of fun things lined up for you in the 10 o'clock hour, everybody. Going to dive into some entertainment news. We've got some stuff to talk about there. Fox is bringing back an old show.
Of course they are.
Yeah. You could just replay that. Just snip that for me for all of our previews and everything. We also got to talk about some of the guests that have been booked for Saturday Night Live's 51st season. I'll be getting into that. Is it interesting to anybody else that Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater and SNL are both celebrating 51 years?
That's kind of wild, actually. I like think that. About it. They all started at the same time. Yeah.
We will be talking about WRCT as well.
Oh, yes.
Getting into that. And, of course, our newsletter, all that coming up for you. And we also got an interesting one, 10 franchises that Hollywood has not touched in 20 years. I think you're going to find some of those really interesting, too.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, I remember that or something. All that coming up for you. Some good stories of the day. We get into our schedule and plenty more where that came from. But I got to get into this one with you, Seth. And I admit to you, the audience, when it comes to the topic of AI, you are one of the people that I go to on this topic. I know you've done a lot of reading on it, a lot of research on it. And honestly, most of the people I have talked to about it are in the entertainment industry, and they're almost scared of it. I shouldn't say almost scared of it. They're not just scared of it. They're almost scared to research it or read articles about it or anything. That's where a lot of creatives have gotten with this. And those are most of the people I talk to.
Right.
So with you and the way your brain works, I appreciate your approach to AI. I feel like you have you are skeptical, but not to the point where you don't see its benefits or don't see that, okay, well, it can be useful here.
Right. How can it be more useful to humans instead of like replacing them, right? That's what we're looking at.
And I feel like one of the ways getting through this scare or whatever it is, and keep in mind the people that are trying to scare you, everybody. Keep in mind the people that are always pounding their fist on the table. You've never seen them smile. They're always trying to act tough. Man, there is no quicker way to tell me you are weak than how tough you try to act all the time.
Exactly.
And I think that one of the same group of people will take AI, and for one, they don't have a straight up opinion on it. Whoever's in their pocket will tell them how to think and what to say.
Right.
So that's where you know where they don't have a real standing on this. Sometimes they're against it, sometimes they're for it, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to people actually doing their own homework on it is what I'm encouraging of. I'm seeing more of that out of people when I'm reading these books and articles about it. And I think we've all gotten to a place where we can understand there's some things to keep our eye on, and there's some stuff that AI is probably going to be useful for.
Right, exactly.
And I think that's a good place to be as a civilization, because it ain't going anywhere.
Right, exactly.
AT&T is currently testing an AI receptionist, which can answer your calls and block spam.
Ooh.
The main element is a screening process to determine if a call is legitimate or spam. This could be huge for those of us who can't just ignore calls from unknown numbers.
Right.
And it won't just give you information on the number. It can actually answer, ask questions to figure out if the caller is human or a bot, and how urgent the call is based on criteria you provide.
That sounds interesting.
The AI receptionist will say, quote, "Who may I say is calling?" or "What is this regarding?" If the caller checks the right boxes, then the call is passed through to you. If it fails, the system will hang up or take a message. One downside is that you may be forced to interact with the AI receptionist, but is that really that different than interacting with your answering machine?
Okay, yeah, I see what they mean there. Okay.
I mean, your answering machine is old AI.
Yeah, in a sense, you are correct. Yep.
It's doing all the things I just described.
Right, that's true.
Yep. It's
blocking screening calls for you, and man, if they leave a message, they leave a message, right? Yeah.
But there would be a way for the friend. You might have to interact with the AI receptionist while just trying to call a friend or something like that.
Right.
There's little thing, gray areas there that
I'm sure
you worry about.
Right.
And this system does rely on your AI being able to outsmart their AI. To a great joke that Seth was making earlier, and I cannot get the sketch out of my head now. I want you and I to play AI bots that are trying to outmaneuver
the other one.
Yes. The feature will roll out this year as a test for select AT&T customers. They haven't said what it might be available to all customers. They don't know yet.
Right.
It is a little funny to me that of all the phone companies to do this, AT&T, one of the ones that notorious for dropping calls and so many other things.
Being an all-around bad company. Yeah, exactly.
And so I said something on Playmakers the other day about the Wisconsin Badgers football team. And you're going to know how much money they have by what happens with Coach Luke Fickell. He has a $25 million buyout. It would be the second highest buyout in college football history.
Right.
If they got money, they'll be able to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. If they're willing to, we know the L universities have money.
Right.
If they're willing to spend it or not.
Yes.
You're going to see. You're also going to see if they're actually going to put money into NIL and all that.
Right.
You're going to know. We're going to know where politicians fall on this one. Because I don't know about anybody else, but the first thing I thought of was election season. And the way that politicians use that to call people on their landlines and all this and everything. Mm-hmm. And texting us. Because where's the AI for texting, blocking text calls?
That's got to be coming right around the corner, actually.
Because let me be very, very clear here. And please call up and correct me if I am wrong, 715-424-2600. None of us have ever wanted to got a text from you.
No.
Or a call from you. There is not one politician that we have ever wanted a call or a text from. If we want to talk to you, we'll reach out to you.
That's right.
There is not one bit of same thing with the attack ads. Not one person out there has ever wanted to see an attack ad.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of us see an attack ad and don't look at you as weak. You look weak. Whether you're responding to an attack ad, whether you are the one starting the fight, you all look weak to me.
Right.
Every single one of you. Anybody that's doing it. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you come in this room and talk to me.
Right.
I will say it to your face. You're using attack ads or using these calls.
Yep.
You're not willing to be on the boots on the ground like we ask of our representatives, like we ask of our politicians.
Right.
Talk to me face to face.
Right.
Meet us in person. What are you scared of?
That's a great point. That really is. I do not have a problem with a politician coming out and in a speech, debate or anything, pointing out flaws in their opponent's record, or in their whatever, how they can contrast how they're different from them, I really don't think that's a bad thing. But doing it with attack ads when you're not, you can keep a distance from yourself, say, this is the PAC that did that. It wasn't me. It was just this group of people. They support me, sure, but I don't, whatever. There's a deniability there, right? You can, if there's a cushion between them.
It's lame.
It's very lame.
We see right
Come out and say it yourself, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Own it. Own it.
Just own it.
Have some accountability.
Yeah. Responsibility. Have a little bit of courage.
Politicians cannot wait to demand responsibility and accountability out of us. Why do do they get away with so dang much?
Yeah, exactly.
And when it comes to that, and when it comes to AI and some of these things, there's no way that you're not going to see this like play itself out in the political scheme. Like, I'm not stretching here or anything. We all knew as soon as I mentioned that, every one of us remembered the election season and what that's been like the last couple of elections.
Yeah.
And how much our phones are blowing up because of them trying to get our vote.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even doing it they're not even trying. Like, they're just the most low-hanging way of trying to get a vote with these robocalls or with these spam texts or anything like that. You ain't getting my vote. Any single one of you ain't getting my vote.
Mm-hmm.
You got to actually talk to me. Talk to your constituents.
Yep.
Show me you are not a coward. Show me you actually can do what we need of you. A real politician, that's a tough gig. That's not an easy job.
No one said it was. It should be. Yeah.
I want tough individuals that can do these jobs. I want people that can stand up for themselves, stand up to others, and fight for us.
Yeah.
Fight for the people. You show me when you do that, you're weak, man.
Yeah.
You're not willing to put the work in. You're not willing to grind.
Also, you're not listening.
Yes.
To the people you should be listening to, that you are literally representing.
Yeah.
If you have representative in your title, you should be listening to what the people you're representing want. Listen to them.
If this program that AT&T is trying to, is kicking out and everything, if this has legs, we're going to see how where it goes.
Yeah,
because
we are.
Mm-hmm. Everything is tied to politics now. The way that the current administration is running things, they are a bully.
Yep.
They are telling everybody what to do. Freedom of speech doesn't mean nearly what it meant when the Constitution was first written, apparently.
Apparently not.
You can't do that anymore.
Yep.
And when we have these things going on, all of this is a bellwether, people.
Mm-hmm.
And please keep in mind, I have no R or D in front of my name. Mm-hmm. I am talking as an American citizen, not as a Republican or Democrat or
independent. Not as a partisan person.
Or the Green Party or the Beige Party that I'm trying to get started. We don't really do much.
Yeah,
to be honest,
we're very beige.
Honestly, we're just getting going here.
Yeah,
we haven't even been able to figure out what day of the week to meet for meetings. It's tough.
It's tough.
Everybody's
man.
Got a busy schedule.
It is.
It's not easy.
Parties out there.
It's also very difficult finding other people with my skin tone. It's very weird skin tone. It's not beige, but it's not also coffee. I don't know.
I don't know what you call it. Right?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But it's tough. I'll tell you that. Well, I'm going to follow this story. I'm going to see where this goes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
I'm very curious to see, because I also think that the other side of this could have some really good advantages to it.
It could. And then there's always the example of AI working. There are ways that AI can make people more productive. Yeah. We have seen it. But it's not, it's working in concert with people. It's not trying to replace them, which is what a lot of people are trying to do, which, again, it's not going to work.
No.
It's not going to work.
No.
Maybe a few industries, very few, that has made an impact in that sense. But no. I've seen the AI videos and stuff like that. Nope, not going to work.
There's certain things AI can't do, and one of them is texting us the keyword for the Go to Green or Gold
text to
win multi-state contest that we got going on. Shout out to Rapids Transmission, our local sponsors around here. We're giving you a chance at the top of the 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 o'clock hours to text us a keyword, and you get yourself a chance hourly to maybe win some nice gold jewelry, $200 cash. Woo. If you win one of those, you get into the running for those Green Bay, Minnesota tickets in November.
Mm-hmm. We are ready. Got them burning a hole in our pocket right now.
Yeah. Oh, cannot wait to hand these out, everybody. Mm-hmm. And cannot wait to give you that keyword to text to us. That keyword is, oh, wait a minute. I wanted to talk about one other thing. No, that keyword is yard. Text us yard.
Right now. Everybody. Text yard now.
Y-A-R-D. Text that to us and get in on the winning. We, of course, are rooting for all of our Central Wisconsin listeners out there.
Absolutely.
That keyword yard. Text it to us. And, of course, be listening at the top of the 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 o'clock hours for that keyword to text to us. Thank you so much to everybody who has downloaded the Civic Media app, who has been playing along, not just with this text to win contest.
Mm-hmm.
You notice we keep doing these because you guys have made these so popular
yep.
and so successful.
We love seeing it.
Like everything else we do around here, it begins and ends with all of you out there.
All
we're
you
not
listeners.
Here without you. We appreciate you. Text us that keyword yard, and thank you so much to listening us and supporting the work that we do here at our stations. We try hard.
Yes, we do. We try.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. There's been a deadly shooting at an ICE facility in Dallas this morning. CBS News Texas reporter Lacey Beasley is at the scene.
Two people were transported to the hospital with gunshot wounds, and Dallas police is reporting that one victim died on scene. That suspect is also deceased, and we are learning that is from a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Dallas police say that suspected shooter opened fire from an adjacent building. We don't know whether the victims are employees at the facility, detainees, or visitors. And no word on a possible motive. CBS News Texas, J.D. Miles.
It's likely going to be considered a federal crime with federal authorities taking the lead on this investigation. And that's where a lot of the information at this point seems to be coming from.
We are expecting more details at a news conference scheduled to get underway any moment now. The ICE facility is along Interstate 35 east, southwest of Dallas Love Field. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.